north of Lincoln City, where we're building workforce housing this year. And that's to help casino employees. We have a pretty substantial amount of employees who work in Lincoln City, but they cannot afford to live there. So we're trying to bridge that disparity as well. And this is just, it's an exciting project. This is new. This is different than any type of business model that we've used before in delivering housing. So we're hoping that this creates a model we can duplicate in other areas. We have a significant population in Salem and Eugene, so we're hoping this will be a model that can be duplicated for us.
How can our listeners then help support the project?
I think there's a housing shortage throughout the state, and we're in the coastal area over here, and I see it acutely. Prices are too high. Wages don't match the cost of living. I think supporting any type of affordable housing within the state is going to produce a positive benefit.
If you had any final words for our listeners, what would they be?
You know, we feel really grateful to be able to do this. We weren't sure, at least me as a housing director, I've been doing this for a long, long time. Priorities of the tribal council here has been to develop or find a way to do affordable housing for tribal members in Portland. And to be quite honest, I didn't see it as something that was going to materialize in the near future just because the cost of land, the cost to develop. So this was really a unique opportunity to not only provide the service that is very much needed, but also to align some of our work with the tribe's strategic plan and strategic vision, which is, it includes getting more diverse housing and housing services to the outlying areas in the 11 county service area of the tribe. So it was just really amazing. I really didn't think we were going to be able to have the opportunity to provide housing in Portland. So I'm like really humbled and honored to be part of this development.
For KBOO News, I'm Mackenzie Beard.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6:01. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, unless otherwise noted. The events committee meets the third Tuesday of each month at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. This Planned Parenthood fundraiser will screen A Girl Like Her, which tells the hidden history of over a million young women who became pregnant in the 1950s and 60s and were banished to maternity homes to give birth and surrender their babies for adoption. And Jane, an Abortion Service, a documentary of Jane. The Chicago-based women's health group who performed nearly 12,000 safe illegal abortions between 1969 and 1973. There will be a conversation after the films between a former Jane, Judith Arcana, and a girl like her, Lonnie Jo Lee. Again, that's the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
You are listening to a digital indigenous radio show. All across Turtle Island, turn up your radios and decolonize. This is Rose City Native Radio.
Can you tell us Minden first then?
Hello, hello. You're listening to Rose City Native Radio. I'm your host, Jack Malmstrom, here for another amazing show of Indigenous content for you, the listener. We got a great show today. We have another guest coming on. Another report from Mauna Kea, and DJ Yellow Horse is here in the studio as well. Music, poetry, and so much more coming up. Starting off the show, we're going to start it with Lightning Cloud featuring Leonard Sumner with Meet Me at the Powwow here on KBOO Portland.
They say Clara. Yo abuelo say, my tía she say, and the people say, mejor la raza. Yo abuelo say, my tía she say, and the people say, mejor la raza.
Pelo bueno, pelo malo, no te cases con fulano. Mary Fair, stay out of the sun. Bleach your skin, it's in the sun.
Ay, 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 del de ti.
You came out looking like a blanquito.
No me venga con tu cuento que tu abuelo era andaluz. No me venga con tu cuento que tu abuelo era andaluz. En la sangre caribeña hay taíno y negritud. En la sangre caribeña hay taíno y negritud. Looking like a blanquita. Blanquita.
That was Jarina DeMarco with Identity Crisis, and before that, Lightning Cloud with featuring Leonard Sumner with Meet Me at the Powwow. We have a special guest friend of the show, Christopher Francisco, on the phone. Chris, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I'm from the Water Flows Together clan, born for the Water Edge clan, and over here in the Kanaka's land here in so-called Hawaii. And I'm also with a drone to be wild here too. He's going to be speaking just for a moment before Hileo gets on.
Okay.
And yeah, so if you got any questions for him, you know, just go ahead and ask. So I'm going to pass the phone to him.
Okay.
Let him speak. Okay.
Hey everybody, hey, how's it going? What radio station is this again, so I can get it right?
This is KBOO.
KBOO, okay. Well, how's it going today? How's Portland going?
It's going. Another sunny day here, which we're not used to, but we're making it through summer.
Awesome. Well, I'm here in Hilo in Hawaii, and I'll tell you, I've been here for the past 2 days, and it's been pretty hot, but at the same time, it's been a life-changing experience, you know, for us making the trip here to the Mauna. And so as part of my journey, I just want to say, give a shout out to all the water protectors that are worldwide, all the water protectors who stand in solidarity for Mauna Kea around the world, and of course Portland and Seattle area and the Puget Sound and all over Turtle Island. But yeah, what is it you want to know?
Well, let's see, where to begin. When did you first arrive at camp out there?
Well, tomorrow I'm actually making my way up to the mountain. Tomorrow in the morning, I'm just waiting for another brother of mine to get off the plane tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've this is my first time in Hawaii.
Ah.
As I was in the Puget Sound area a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. and I started watching this unfold and mm-hmm. started sticking closer to the live feeds, and I started understanding that in a way it was like a deep calling for me.
Mm-hmm.
People in the spirit would understand what the deep calling of us that calls within us, and I was felt that I was called here, mm-hmm. and not only to just bring back the aloha that the Hawaiian people brought during Standing Rock when Standing Rock in 2016 was happening. You know, it felt in my heart to come to Hawaii and to bring back that aloha, bring back that love, bring back that gratitude, that honor and respect for the indigenous people here as they fight to protect sacred lands on top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been here for a couple of days, and tomorrow I will embark on my journey and going up to the camp and taking part in being a part of the spirit and unfolding all the unfolding goodness that's been coming out of that place. I mean, you could feel it worldwide. You feel it in your dreams. You feel it in your sleep. You feel it when you're on your way,
mm-hmm.
and everything you do every day. I just feel very blessed and honored to be here in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
and I'll be here for a month and to lend my support and my skills, my talent, my vision, my prayers, and to just embrace it one with the people here. Mm-hmm. So,
now for those who are not familiar with your work, could you explain a little bit about what you do? Because you were at Standing Rock as well. I was actually at camp the same time you were. You got really good footage of our Two-Spirit Grand Entry. but for those who are unfamiliar, maybe haven't seen your footage, can you explain for our listeners what it is you do?
What is it I do? I sometimes ask myself that. What do I do at times? But what I do is I put everything out there in my work and good heart, you know. And what I like to do and what I love to do is to take the people's voices and to take the people's heart and the things that they speak of and the truth when the ancestors are flowing through them, you know, and to amplify their message, to amplify their meaning and their love, and to show it out there in the world. And that's a part of that blessing of what we were and what we went through during Standing Rock. And as for me, I'm a drone pilot, but as for now, I don't got a drone, but I did the drones come, you know. They come when they come, but I just got very skilled at really presenting anything that we're shooting and documenting as independent journalists, utilizing tools such as technology, such as these editing software programs, to drones, using equipment like that, to handheld cameras, to iPhones. We utilize everything in our capacity, in our skill, in our heart, and we transform that into beautiful messages, such as, you know, like, 2-3 minute videos portraying what we're putting the messages about. But most of all, everyone knows me from Drone to Be Wild, and it was just something I made up just before Standing Rock kicked off, about the summer before it all got kicked off. I purchased this drone and I didn't know what to do with it, but I was compelled to get it. And so I got it, and I was fortunate enough to document the first start of the youth that were running before Standing Rock was even put on the map, before Standing Rock was even in any kind of major news and what was going on there. So to be the person, to be the soul that witnessed this unfold from the very beginning and out on the reservation, to see six youth run to Mobridge, South Dakota, and then after that they ran to Omaha, and then from there they ran to Washington, D.C. So to see this unfold from the sky as a drone pilot, it's a beautiful thing to witness, to follow this progress of this growth of the movement. And that's what brings me here, is it's all this is part of the indigenous rising spirit in this movement worldwide, you know, like all the prophecies we were all taught and we were told when we were all growing up, and in all our indigenous communities, doesn't matter what culture you're from, we all had these prophecies, and it's in this day and age that they're unfolding, and the spirit's flowing freely, and the people are feeling it, and the people are waking up, and the people are really recognizing their deep intuition and heart. Like, that's a deep calling within us, past the conditioning of what colonialism has done to our people, you know. So it's just a part of that. It's just all one movement. But being a part of Standing Rock, what happened there, it affected me spiritually. It woke me up even more than I was woke. It hurt me. It traumatized me. I felt the pain. I felt the darkness. I felt all the things that this system does to our people. But I wasn't scared of it. We utilized it. We have to live with it because we were living with it our whole lives, even passed down through our generation, to our parents, to our grandfathers and grandmothers' eyes, that conditional trauma never goes away, but we embrace it through our generation and we hold what we've been through and the stories of our grandmothers and our grandfathers escaping boarding school to run away, you know, because it wasn't right. It was evil. And so to this day, like, I have hope, I have faith, I have spirit, I have strength for everything that's unfolding right now that we do not hear on the news because they love to suppress good things like this, you know, and they're always, you know, they want to keep it on a hush-hush because, you know, the power of what's going on here at Mauna Kea is so profound. And I like to use the word profound. I know a lot of people say I use it too much, but the thing about it is, like, profound is profound. There's no limit. It's just, it is what it is. You have to be here in the moment to really truly understand the acceptance of this knowledge and this power and this understanding and the goodness that comes out of this mountain. You know, like the old Hawaiian people say, it's that aloha that comes out. You know, we gotta be and give that respect and give the aloha back to the land and to the people for us to grow as indigenous people. Not only just indigenous people, but for other people who are not indigenous, who have lost their spirit, who are in the darkness, who are doing wrong, but to help them heal too at the same time. At the same time, we're all healing each other in this time, you know?
No, absolutely. It's really interesting to see how, I mean, unfortunately, you know, we still deal with colonialism to this day and the effects of that on our peoples. But as technology grows and changes, so does our way of sharing what's happening in our storytelling ways, right? Like, we used to do it verbally and used to do ledger drawings and things. And now, you know, you document things using whatever you can get access to at the time and creating these amazing pieces that not only show what it's like from behind the front lines, but our own, like, through our own eyes kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
That's the benefit of using these tools we have in our lives now. And I know a lot of people are a little iffy about technology, and I know it doesn't really go well with their spirit as individualities, but at the same time, we have to coexist with this technology that's being set in our lives. We utilize it for the good, you know. If the technology is going to evolve into a spirit, at least we've got to be there to at least, you know, teach and pass on those virtues into that technology and utilize it for the good. You know, we all got to embrace each other, whether we're human or whether we're technology, you know. And at the same time, we're like on the brink of, like, you know, possibilities that are going to be open to this new paradigm. I mean, this is why this whole fight here is happening in Mauna Kea, is over a telescope. Because the Western world wants to understand ourselves, wants to understand our place in the universe, but they don't understand is the fact that, you know, we already are the stars. You just got to feel it deep inside your heart and your soul. You can have the whole map of the mystery within you, but for them, they have to point lasers at the sky just to open the paradigm to try to see inside their mind, you know. It's a deep calling and understanding. A few really understand this, not many do, but it's the whole point of life and where we're at in this conflict today. We're never against science. We welcome science with all the love and understanding and wisdom, but there's these virtues and values that are set along to have things in balance, and that's what's been crossed, you know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us. It's really nice to meet you, even if it is over the phone. But thanks again for talking with us. And we look forward to seeing what you capture while you're out there.
Yeah. You're welcome. You guys have a good day. Tell Portland, said hi, and pass on the phone to hear this guy.
Thank you.
Good, brother.
Right on. Aloha no kakou. How's it going out there in Portland?
It's going good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having us. Mahalo nui.
Sapa. So how's it? Like, how's it going out there? We're just kind of looking for an update, seeing what it's been like so far out there on the camp.
So again, I'll briefly introduce myself. I just like to say mahalo for having us. My name is Hanale. I'm 35. I was born and raised here on the island, and you know, I'm giving a personal perspective and just like definitely acknowledge all our listeners, our ancestors before us, the generations after. And personally, last time I was on the show, I'm so grateful to be back. I just want to share that little part of our experience. So we was up there for the first 7 days, we like to say, so 7 day activists, and after that, the first 7 days straight. So it begun pretty scary, I'd like to say, in its own way. I think you guys might have saw, or the news might have shown, that they had, you know, their weapons, and it did even note that they had LRAD, they had spray guns, batons, and so on. So in the beginning, from how it started to where it is now, you definitely can see a lot of more love, and unity, and lots of cultures and tribes coming to the island and Mauna Kea to share their unification. So you know, that's what we see. That's always is great and beautiful, and we definitely got to touch on that and share some of those perspectives. So for me, you know, I have a couple of different, you know, perspectives for that. I personally come from poverty, domestic violence, drugs, homelessness. So sometimes we hear the topics of this land grabs, quiet titles, or issues of you know, what would be like fascism in a way, and how it affects the cultural people here. And you know, I like to speak on behalf of some of those people. So I'm one of those victims. You know, sometimes we only hear people talk about those victims at some of the meetings, you know, for example, DGHL meetings, we might hear them talk about victims. And yeah, I like to, you know, be a voice for and an example of one of those victims. 8th grade failure, she has a high school, no college. You know, I wasn't able to compete with my classmates academically. So one of my only choices was to practice my culture. And, you know, now we're in this time where we have science up against culture, and hence the issue up on Mauna Kea. So, you know, I hope that gives you kind of a broad scope of, you know, the current topics in a way, you know, maybe to drop a couple of questions.
What has been the overall, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess, like, mood, like, how is everybody doing so far? It has been, it's been a while now since this whole thing started, and there's been, you know, police coming in and out, and celebrities visiting and things like that. What is the overall mood of how everyone is doing? Are they a little bit hopeful that maybe something is finally going to get moving soon, or is this a little bit more nervous because there's more police presence involved? Like, how is everybody doing, basically?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So personally, I like to share a personal view, because lots of times it's not what we're going to hear. So, you know, it could be considered alternative news. Me, I'm a little concerned. And not for all the beautiful things happening, you know, beautiful music, beautiful songs, beautiful unity, lots of aloha. But I hope we can stay on track with some of the major topics. And, you know, one of the topics would be something like the flags. So there is separation. Let's talk about a little separation. So from all the beautiful things we see shown all over the news, right? We're seeing the songs, the music videos, the artists, the movie stars coming up. I'll definitely, I could, you know, be a devil's advocate in here and touch on some other topics. And like I said, one of them might be the flag. So you might see some flags flying right side up. You might see some flags flying upside down. This is a great topic. And one of those reasons, and again, what that really means is, you know, for the flags that is currently there, and I'm using examples of, you know, because once you change the size of a flag, or you put gold fringes on a flag, or you deface it anyway, it's not the flag anymore. So that's kind of what we have there. We have flags that's not of size with different stripe color coordinations. So then we got the issue I'm addressing. So the issue would be, there is a little separation, you know, there's different huis or groups up there. Like I shared in the previous show, we got different Kanaka or hui or groups from different islands. So you got Oahu, Maui, Molokai, and of course the Big Island. And each island have districts. You got East Hawaii, you got West Hawaii. So you got Aloha Aina, Kanaka Rangers, Kapu Aloha, you know, and different organizations all acting as one. That's the beautiful magic, like herding cats. You know, it's beautiful. And then, you know, some of the things is you see the flags. So what the flags mean is when the flag is what we call right side up. So it's what people would consider the correct way, or, you know, the right side to fly it, right side up. Right side up is when you actually have the white bar up on top. So when the right bar is up on top, describing the flag that is currently being flown now, white to us represents lono, or peace. It means everything is okay. Our culture had a time of war and a time of peace. So we understood that war was even important, and this is what that represented. So now when you get the red, some of us fly the flags upside down. I prefer to fly the flag upside down. So this is a separation right here that we might not see in the news. It might not be explained, and I'm going to take the time to explain it. When the red, which is on the bottom of the flag, is at the top because the flag is upside down, that means cool. And cool means war. So that's war season. Cool season means war season. So, for example, like compared it to the civil rights movement in 1963, we have people telling us what to say, what not to say, what time to show up, what time to leave, and how to fly our flags. The flag should be upside down, my personal preference, my personal perspective, personal belief. I don't speak for my people or everybody in Hawaii or everybody on Mauna Kea. Mm. That's because we're actually in a military occupation, an illegal overthrow, which has been stated, shared in many different ways. And that's the topic we should be looking at. So we use vocabulary again that affects us. Like my brothers here, if they were to call themselves Native Americans or Native Indians versus describing themselves as Dene. If I were to call myself a Native Hawaiian, which I'm not. Now, even that subject, you know, I like to correct some people, you know, believe that, you know, whether I'm a Kanaka Mo'ole or Kanaka Hawaiian or Kanaka Hapa, you know, those are different terms compared to describing ourselves from a Washington, D.C. or a federal recognition definition. So with those flags being right side up or upside down, you can clearly see there's some type of division, but it's not being talked about. So again, I hope that shares, yeah, you know, a little scoop of beautiful things happening, but yeah, also a little separation at the same time.
Mm-hmm. And this fight also really highlights a lot of the issues between, you know, the indigenous folks of Hawaii and the state, because there seems to be a disconnect there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. This is real simple. Indigenous, we're not indigenous people. So we cannot be on the indigenous forum. We're not part of indigenous groups. How's that? That's like calling us Kingdom of Hawaii when it's the Hawaiian Kingdom. That's like calling me a Native Hawaiian when I'm a Kanaka Hawaii, Kanaka Hapa, descendant of the Kanaka Mo'oli. So again, the biggest effect is words. The most affordable and effective way to change the economics, the political views, the morals of people is words. So when we describe ourselves or our place, and we have these foreign words, like indigenous, then we already lose. So we actually Aborigines, we arrived first. That's what that means. I'm a descendant of the Aborigines, my ancestors. So with that being said, this is more about vocabulary. When The Rock goes on Jimmy Fallon and says he talked to the spokesman of all of our people and the Native Hawaiian people, that's impossible, right? So Native Hawaiian is a Washington, D.C. definition. I'll give you an example. If I was in America, got my lawyers together, flew to Russia, and started to pressure Russians with American law, that's rare. Meaning we don't fly around with our laws, right? So that's because laws belong in countries, and they don't move around to other countries. And what's happening is here is we are subject or being subject to or governed by foreign laws, foreign vocabulary. Again, like how can you understand people if you don't understand their language? So you make the words easier for other people, make the words easier for them to understand, but then you lose the character and the soul of the words. So vocabulary, syntax, placement, choice of words, the biggest issue right now. Especially when we get superstars like The Rock going on Jimmy Fallon describing us as Native Hawaiians. Again, that's a Washington, D.C. definition. That's not the words of our country that existed, the Geneva Convention peace treaties all over the world since 1843. We had electric cars, flushing toilets, generators. We had telegraph cables, lotteries. We had our own currency, our own language. People think we lived in grass shacks still to today. So there's a major disconnect, especially when we get blocked out media and limited, you know, media. I would love to see Vice Land again. I said this last time. Al Jazeera, get us Time Magazine, Washington Post. Our news became one company. All of our, because of the economic crisis, corporate downsizing, our newspapers merged. Our news companies all merged. So my palalas down here, Kristen, they came down thinking, wow, you guys got the media unlocked. They said they didn't need our help. They got it unlocked. They're all good. To me, that's not all good. We got arrested. It wasn't documented. We was not arrested. Kalamai was raided or sweeped for what we considered the most strategic point in this whole topic, Kumu'ula. That's the land from our kingdom right above both the DLNR at the cattle gates and the kupunas and all the superstars dancing at the bottom. Like Malcolm X said about the civil rights movement, I can say about this movement, it's turning into a circus. Last Sunday, there was a clown up at the mountain and all. So I wouldn't say this. This is true. Ezra the Clown, that was his name. So it's turning into a new circus to me. Again, I hope we get back. You get nudged 1 degree off track, you end up in a totally different destination. Me getting on back track would be this. Native Hawaiians, Kanaka Hawaii, Kanaka Maoli. Kingdom of Hawaii, Hawaiian Kingdom. The state of Hawaii doesn't exist. Show us the treaty. They have a joint resolution. Does people understand the difference between a joint resolution and a treaty? Do some of that homework. So again, lots of your listeners, I'm so grateful, you know, for tuning in again and sharing. Because now we have a voice. I would like to say this is alternative news. Hana lehe, that means lip service. So again, I hope that shares a little bit about a different perspective, what we might not see. Alternative news, alternative views, different perspective. I'm a Kanaka, born and raised here on the island, right here in Moku'o Ke Awe. So Kingdom of Hawaii was a kingdom from Kamehameha on this island. But what I'm talking about is the Hawaiian kingdom. And even when we talk about that, it goes all the way from, you know, 1843 to 1893. But lots of the stuff is default. Meaning, we had a constitution called the Bayonet Constitution. That means our king, Kalakaua, had to make agreements with a bayonet to his neck. And like Joan to be Wild just shared some of this stuff, yeah, it can get pretty creepy. It's like the Magna Carta in England. With King John, right? So I'll touch on that with hula. Everybody loves hula, right? Hula is beautiful. How do we have hula today? I'll share that. It's a interesting story. Hula was saved by King Kalakaua. They call him the Merry Monarch, which is why we have the Merry Monarch today. He and his constitution was called the Bayonet Constitution. Because he signed it with a bayonet to his neck. During his lifetime, like David in the lion's den, some people might know this story, he had to play ball. Right? They banned his language, banned his dance. Now he got to defend himself against his own people. And one of the biggest things, I know you guys are talking about scribing and documenting, like Sumerian, Gilgamesh, and texts, but our culture is a language of symbols and sound. We never need no scribes and books and scrolls. So Kalakaua knew that all of our culture is hidden in our dance, in our chant. The question was how he's going to keep that. So now we're talking about ancient tradition, sophistication, right? We're talking about computers and stuff and drones coming from pens and papers and drawings. But Kalakaua, in his days, only kane, only men danced hula. It's forbidden. It's kapu for wahine or women to dance hula. But now, that's the most common thing we see. That's called sophisticated hula, the talk of the town. You guys might have heard that song, sophisticated hula, the talk of the town, right? That's not traditional hula. No woman was allowed to dance hula. Then why do we have women dancing hula? Because Kalakaua utilized hula, Kalamai, the women, to save hula. In his times, he had to teach hula underground in downtown Honolulu. And both the foreigners and his own people could have turned him in. Somehow, he figured it out. He taught it and saved our whole culture to bring him back hula, teaching it to women. So hopefully the foreigners will reaccept it, which they did. And now we have hula, what's being danced up on the mauna. But before, kapu, aole, no woman can dance hula. We're seeing sophisticated hula, and it's still the talk of the town. So again, I hope that shares a little insight and a different perspective
and
on what we know.
It's important to know the history as well. Another part of the issue with this whole fight is even all the way back to 2017, right? The Board of Land and Natural Resources ruled in favor of it, saying that it found no physical evidence that it would affect the historical cultural sites, such as burials and altars and things, without even taking anything about what the mountain truly means into account. These foreign governments don't care to know the history, not even their own history of how they came to be on that land, and don't take it into account and don't listen to the voices of the people who have cared for this for millennia, for before anything was anything. And it seems to be at the core of this issue is getting them to even acknowledge that while trying to navigate all of the red tape that they set up for themselves so they win. It's a system that was built against us from the start.
Well, we could turn that into a song, you know. We just sample that and make a beat out of that. That was a hit right there.
Thanks.
I don't like call them on fight. You know, there's definitely battles going on all over the world, and it is a fight, you know. So it's, but the best way to fight is without fighting, right? You know. So it's trying to utilize, you know, every experience, and just remember that things don't just happen, things happen just. So there's definitely a blessing, you know, again, having all this support and help. You know, now we get to talk to you and the people out in Portland. I mean, you know, I see the blessing in this, and I don't see it as a fight. I see it as seeds that was planted a while ago, and now it's blooming. And, you know, and it's again, like, Jones To Be Wild just shared, it might be the seventh generation. It's been prophesied. I read about it in our chant, you know, and again, our chant's got to be translated. So our chant is not, you know, foreign chants. It's chants that was translated, something like the Kumulipo, you know, that is so ancient, you know. It really rivals science and culture. So I might invite your listeners to look into our creation chant. Me and my friend get into it sometimes, and I think the easiest way to start a conversation is try to figure out if who you're talking to, whether it's TMT supporters or UH professors or just your friend or me and you. One of the great questions is, do you believe in creation or do you believe in evolution? Because we can get so sidetracked, like talking about the Hawaiian kingdom and our people and our culture and not know what type time, what part of the timeline we'd be talking about. So start with the beginning. What you think this is a Big Bang evolution thing, or you think this is creation? Then we can start to communicate with each other. So Mauna Kea, you know, Mauna Kea is it's a fight and it's not. It's you know, I shared it on the last show. It's metaphysics. It's behind science, right? Meta behind physics, science. So they like us to use science to explain our culture. Recently we had a story about the sharks. In our legends, in our tales, our kupunas teach us, the sharks swim from the shore, our beachfront, all the way up to Mauna Kea, believe it or not. This is testified in the TMT court cases. Some of our kupuna or elders know of it, knew of it, and still, take part of it. And they didn't believe that. That wasn't considered an actual, that wasn't considered in the court case. That was done by, that mo'olelo is from Uncle Hank Ferguson. He shared that story testifying in the TMT case. Personally, I was sitting in that case. I catered that event during the last week, and I had a great spot. It was dead center. And just 2 months or 3 months later, anybody can double check my words. Don't take my sincerity for truth. When they was laying cameras in the volcanoes down in Chile, the sharks started to swim up to the cameras, and they was putting cameras in there to watch volcanic activity. So that confirmed again that our cultural chant explains things scientifically, but it's metaphysics. It's behind science. Like the Kumulipo again I'm going to share, or the creation story I shared last time I was on the show, Kane, Haloa, Pele, all representing times of creation in our lifetime. And it's crazy because it's physics is physics. So I'm talking about physics too, right? Last time I shared the aquifers being restored by the mist. The UH just made that discovery, I think 2015 or so. They have the documents, just got to check it out. And our kupunas testified again. That's in our Ka'ohe chant of Poleahu. Our ancestors already knew this. I shared this last time, the Farmer's Almanac, most well-known farmer's guide in the world, probably, or at least in the English, knowledge. And that only has 8 references to 8 different moon phases in waning and waxing. Our ancestors had 30, a name for each one that affected things differently. And again, that's where you determine your source from the resources. So you change that, you change that native Hawaiian to Kanaka Hawaii, and you really start to figure out, where your roots are from. You don't understand the tree, you don't understand the roots. You don't want to seek the roots, you never understand the tree. Some people hate the roots, so they hate themselves. Some people hate the tree, they hate the roots. Right? Same thing. If you're never going back to your culture, you'll never understand who you are. Culture is your roots. Ho'i ho'i'ea. That means to return to your roots, return to your culture, restore it.
Well said. Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today. That's about all we have right now. And, we wish you all well, and stay safe out there. We're always sending prayers your way.
Thanks so much. We just love the support and the love we've been getting out from Portland, Oregon. We got lots of family out there. Lots of our people go out there, and they love that place. I never been there yet. I almost came last year, and I'm definitely going to be out there soon. So, again, much love to you guys, KBOO. Check us out on Lele Olelo Hawaii, Ruth Moore Mele, Instagram, Facebook. And again, I just like mahalo you from Hawaii ne. We're way out here, and thanks for giving us a chance to speak.
Mm-hmm. Sape, thank you so much for joining us.
Mahalo.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Rose City Native Radio, and this is 2 for 1 with Sage Patch Kid.
I'm looking at my living ancestors allowing me to breathe. Although they can't see, its senses are probably far beyond you and me. The plants have a spirit energy. We will feed on the seeds, and if they're not quite edible, we will turn them into beads and wear jewelry. That gives us protection. You could wear my necklace. Think I got it at a powwow in Texas. I can't remember. No, wait, it was Denver at the Coliseum. Peace to the Navajo tribe, my native brothers and sisters. I came from Minnesota, a Minneapolis. Spirit Lake is the reservation that I'm enrolled in. A family of survivors. I can't believe I'm here and I'm still alive and well, baby, I'm thriving. Had to cut the fried bread. I wanna make some wild rice together later on, and we wild for the night. First, can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in the yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk?
it in different ways. On my path of enlightenment, would you like it hit or hit me on a different day? Unless you're trying to ride this wave, unless you're trying to make this feel like your favorite holiday. I want to take my shoes off and prance around, laughing in the yard while we dance into some magic sound. Wagging out, picking raspberries and mulberries and strawberries. Grandma used to send us to the woods to pick choke cherries. It wasn't so scary, really, those were happy days. She sent us down the hill where there was a massive patch of sage. I'm a sage patch kid, you dig? Eating hot dish and it was delish. I almost burnt my lips. She had an apple orchard, it was just too early to pick. We had to wait for fall, but by then we'd be gone. So we sang songs, play with dogs in the lawn or the pasture. Gravel roads kicking up dust and cattails, tall grass in the back. You heard the laughter, that sweet laughter. Now can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk really hard? Please can you teach me how to garden? Can you teach me how our ancestors harvest? Can you show me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk? Is it really hard? Can you teach me the importance of growing my own food? Can you teach me how to put love into everything I do? Teach me what it means to forgive and give gifts without expecting anything in return. I'm just ready to learn. I wanna burn that same sage I picked when I was just a kid, so it can bring me guidance. I want to tap into what my great-grandparents provided on the island of Borinquen. Live off the land and go completely off the grid, with a tiny house, a plot of land, star fruit trees, plantains, bananas, avocados, and all that. And we can make juice and cherry blossom green tea. And while I'm playing chords, you can sing to me deep into the night as the coquis sing back to us peacefully. Those little beautiful island frogs. And while the street dogs fall asleep, we all start nodding off. We pass out in the hammock and I have the same dream of you teaching me how to garden. Teaching me how our ancestors harvest. You're showing me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk. It's not hard. You're teaching me how to garden. You're teaching me how our ancestors harvest. You're showing me how to put life back in a yard, in the soil of the earth that we walk. It's not hard.
Thank you so much for everything. Sleep well.
In fact, the
That was Blue King Brown with All Nations, and before that, 2 for 1 with Sage Patch Kid. Coming up next, this is A Tribe Called Red featuring Black Bear with Stadium Powwow here on Rose City Native Radio. Hey, hold on.
No, there. Yeah. Yeah. Hey.
Hey, Nick.
Hello. Hello. This one. Hey. Well, thank you everyone out there for listening and all our guests today. You can always check us out on Facebook, Rose City Native Radio.
Yes. And you can email us at pdxnativeradio@gmail.com.
Give us news, music, more. We're always glad to talk. But yeah, we're always interested to hear from you and everyone that is out there. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week, Indian Country. Good evening, Portland. It is 7 o'clock. You are listening to KBOO Community Radio 90.7.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival on August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge in Gaston, Oregon. Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2 features art, unlimited camping spots, a full bar, food carts, a nearby lake, and performances by Marisa Anderson, Pink Reason, Amps for Christ, Lavender Flu, and many, many more. This is an all-ages event. Again, that's Dundee Lodge Campout Volume 2, the Fringe Art and Music Festival, August 16th, 17th, and 18th at Dundee Lodge 50845 Southwest Dundee Road in Gaston, Oregon. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Bonds Over Borders on Tuesday, August 27th at 6 p.m. at the Cleaners at Ace Hotel in Portland. Bonds Over Borders is a benefit for Innovation Law Lab.